water. "I'm going for a walk," he said, and left. Surprised, she went to the door and opened it. He kept on going until she lost sight of him in the trees. Frowning, she closed the door. She took off her clothes and stepped into the tub. She scrubbed her hair and body vigorously, poured the warm water down over her to rinse, then stepped out. She wanted to be finished before he came back. He had left a towel draped over the back of the chair, and she rubbed her skin and wrapped her hair. She dressed quickly. She sat down before the fire again and unwound the towel. Her hair was a tangled mess, and she tried to work her fingers through the knots. Hosea didn't come back for more than an hour. When the door finally opened behind her, she glanced up at him. His dark hair was wet. She supposed he had bathed in the icy stream, and she felt a twinge of guilt and doubt. He moved about the cabin restlessly. She went on pushing her fingers through her hair, aware of his every movement. He opened the trunk and slammed it shut. As he paced past her, he dropped a brush in her lap. She picked it up and looked at it. Her throat closed up. She looked up at him and slowly began to brush her hair. He stood with his hip resting against the table and watched her. She didn't know what he was thinking. She didn't know what to say. "Don't ever do that to me again," he said. He was pale, and she felt something move inside her, curling tight and sinking deep. "I won't," she said, and meant it. Michael sat in the willow chair before the fire, his hands relaxed between his knees. He stared at the flames for a long time. "I guess I got a good taste of what it's been like for you." She glanced up in surprise. "What do you mean?" He looked at her. "It doesn't feel good to be used, whatever the reason." Something twisted inside her. She held the brush in her lap and stared at it miserably. "I don't know what I'm doing here with a man like you."
"I knew the moment I saw you that I was going to marry you."
"So you told me." She tilted her head. "Look, mister, let me explain a few facts of life to you. A farmer alone for weeks on end coming to town, you could have looked at the south end of a northbound mare and known she was the right one for you." "It was your young, stone-cold face," Michael said.
He gave her a rueful smile.
"Then the rest of you."
His gaze flickered down over her.
"You were dressed in black like a widow, and McGowan was with you. I guess he was making sure you didn't run away."
She didn't say anything for a long time. She closed her eyes and tried not to think about any of it, but it was like a foul stench in the room. It lingered. She couldn't get rid of it. It was there under the clean smell of the soap he had given her to use. The foulness was inside her, running in her blood.
"Do you remember when you asked me what kind of name Hosea was, and I said prophetic?"
She began brushing her hair again slowly, but Michael knew she was listening to him this time.
"Hosea was a prophet. God told him to marry a prostitute."
She glanced at him with a mocking smile.
"Did God tell you to marry me?"
"Yes, he did." She was scornful.
"He talks to you personally?"
"He talks to everyone personally. Most people just don't bother to listen." It was better to humor him.
"Sorry I interrupted. You were telling me a story. What happened next? Did this prophet marry the prostitute?"
"Yes. He figured God must have a reason, a good reason."
"The same as he probably did.
Did this Hosea beat the sin out of her? I suppose she crawled to him on her face and kissed his feet for saving her soul."
"No.
She went back to prostitution."
Her stomach dropped. She looked up at him and searched his face. He just looked back at her, solemn, self-contained, enigmatic.
"So God isn't so all-powerful after all, is he?" she said quietly.
"God told him to go and get her back again."
She frowned slightly.
"Did he?"
Yes.
Just because God told him to?
No man would do that.
Yes, and because he loved her.
She got up and went to look out the window at the darkening sky.
Love?
No, I don't think that was his reason. It was his pride. The old prophet just didn't want to admit he couldn't hold on to her all by himself.
Pride drives a man away, Mara. It drove me away from you that last night in paradise.
He should have listened to the Lord and gone back. He should have dragged her out of there no matter how much she kicked and screamed.
Angel looked back over her shoulder at him.
So she stayed with the prophet after that?
No. She left him again. He had to buy her out of slavery a second time.
She didn't like his story very much.
Then she stayed?
No. She kept leaving. She even had children by other men.
Her chest felt heavy. Defensive, she mocked him. And he finally stoned her to death, she said wryly, sarcasm dripping. Isn't that right? He finally sent her to where she belonged.
He didn't answer, and she turned her back on him again.
What's your point, mister? Just say it.
Someday you're going to have to make a choice.
He didn't say any more, and she wondered if that was the end of it. She clenched her teeth. She wasn't going to ask him if the harlot ever stayed with the prophet or if he finally gave up on her.
Michael got up, opened 2 tins of beans, and poured them into a pot. In a few moments they were warm, and he served them.
Sit and eat with me, Mara.
She sat down with him at the table. When he bowed his head and prayed, the anger came up fast inside her again. Trying to ignore him, she began eating. When he looked at her, she gave him a tight, challenging smile.
You know what I think? She said, I think God had you marry me to punish you for some great sin in your past. Have you lusted after many women, mister?
It does plague me on occasion, he said, looking her over with a rueful smile.
He ate the rest of the meal in silence.
She envied his peace and self-control.
When he finished, she took his plate and stacked it on her own.
Since you did the cooking, I'll wash the dishes.
She didn't like the dark, but it was better than staying in the cabin with him. He might start telling her another of his rotten stories. A really nice one this time, something about a leper or someone with running sores. When she finished the dishes, she sat by the creek for a while. She was aching all over and knew she had attempted far too much today, but just listening to the water soothed her unsettled nerves.
What am I doing here? She said to herself. What am I doing here with him?
A gentle breeze rustled the leaves of the cottonwood, and she could swear she heard a soft voice. She turned, but no one was there. Shivering, she walked back quickly and saw Hosea leaning against the doorframe, waiting for her. His hands were shoved in his pockets. Stepping around him, she entered the cabin and put the dishes away. She was tired and wanted to go to bed. Stripping off her clothes, she slipped quickly beneath the quilts. Then she lay there, thinking about that girl going back to prostitution. Maybe she had a duchess who had her money, too. Maybe the prophet had driven her half crazy the way this farmer was driving her crazy. Maybe she just wanted to be left alone. Did the prophet ever think of that?
Angel stiffened when Hosea slid into bed beside her. She only had herself to blame. Give them the taste of a kiss and they wanted the whole meal. Well, the sooner it was done, the sooner she could sleep.
She sat up, brushing her hair impatiently over her shoulder, and looked down at him with grim resolution.
No.
She was surprised at the look of impatience he gave her.
No? No.
Look, mister, I can't read your mind. You have to tell me what you want.
I want to sleep in my own bed with my wife beside me.
Taking a strand of her hair, he tugged it lightly.
And that's all I want.
Perplexed, she lay back down again. She waited for him to change his mind. After a long while, his breathing deepened. She turned her head cautiously and looked at him in the firelight. He was asleep. She studied his relaxed profile for a long moment, then turned away from him. Angel tried to put space between their bodies, but Michael Hosea filled the bed the same way he filled the cabin, the same way he was beginning to fill her life. Chapter 11. From Dante. In the middle of the journey of our life, I came to myself in a dark wood. Angel moaned as Duke bent over her. He laughed softly. Did you think you could get away from the Alpha and Omega? Someone called to her from a great distance, but Duke kept drowning out the still, soft voice. You thought 4,000 miles was far enough, but here I am. She strained away from him, trying to hear who was calling her. Duke pulled her back again. You belong to me. Oh, yes, always, and you know it. I'm the only one you'll ever belong to. His breath smelled of the cloves he chewed after smoking his cheroots. I know what you're thinking, Angel. I can read your mind. Couldn't I always? Hope all you wish, but I will never die. Even when you cease to exist, I'll still live. I am timeless. She fought him, but he was not substance to be pushed away. He was shadow, covering her, taking her back and down into a deep black hole. She felt her body absorbing him as she fell. He was entering every pore until the blackness was within her, and she tore at her own flesh. No, no! Mara! Mara! She awakened abruptly, her mouth open in a silent scream. Mara, Michael said gently, sitting on the edge of the bed. She tried to still the shaking as he brushed her hair away from her face. You have a lot of nightmares. What are they about? His gentle voice and touch made her relax a little. She brushed his hand away. I can't remember, she lied. Duke branded into her mind. Would he still be searching for her after all this time? She knew the answer and felt cold. She could still see his face. It was as if she had run from him yesterday and not a year ago. He would find her some day, and when he did... She could not bear to think about it. She didn't dare go back to sleep. The nightmare would begin again and take the course it always did. Mara, tell me what you're afraid of. Nothing, she said tightly. Just leave me alone. Michael laid his hand on her chest, and her muscles tensed. If your heart beat any harder, it would come right out of your chest. Are you hoping to get my mind on something else? Michael took his hand away. There's more than sex between us. There's nothing at all. She turned her back to him. Michael stripped the quilts off her. I'll show you what else there is. I said leave me alone. Raw from the nightmare, raw from being with him, she yanked the quilts back up again. Michael ripped the bed covers off. Bunching them, he tossed them on the trunk in the corner. Get up, now. You're going whether you like it or not. Angel was frightened of him as he loomed over her. She could sense him trying to rein in his temper. We're going to take a little walk, he said. Now? In the middle of the night? It was cold and dark. She gasped as he scooped her up and set her on her feet. Pulling on his pants, he said, You can go dressed or naked. It's all the same to me. She didn't like the shadows in the cabin, and she wasn't going out that door into the darkness. I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. She headed for the quilt, but he caught her arm and spun her around. When she cowered and raised her arm to ward off a blow, Michael's anger evaporated. Was that what she expected from him, even after all this time? I'm never going to hurt you. He got the quilt and swung it around her. He found her shoes and held them out to her. She didn't take them.
You can wear them or walk barefoot, your choice, but you are going with me.
Angel took the shoes.
What are you really afraid of, Mara? Why don't we get down to that?
She threw the buttonhook aside and straightened. I'm not afraid of anything, least of all a dirt farmer like you.
He opened the door.
Come on, then, if you're so brave.
She could make out the barn, but he took her firmly in hand and headed toward the woods.
Where are you taking me?
She despised the tremor in her voice.
You'll see when we get there.
He kept walking, pulling her along with him.
Angel could barely see anything except shapes. They were menacing and dark, some moving.
She remembered Rab hurrying her through the dark night a long time ago and was afraid. Her heart beat faster.
I want to go back.
She stumbled and almost fell.
Michael caught and steadied her.
Just once try trusting me, would you? Have I done anything to harm you?
Trust you? Why should I? You're crazy bringing me out here like this in the middle of the night. Take me back.
She was trembling and couldn't stop.
Not until you see what I have to show you.
Even if you have to drag me?
Unless you'd rather ride over my shoulder.
She jerked her hand free.
Go on ahead.
All right, he said.
Angel swung around to go back, but couldn't see the cabin or barn through the trees.
When she turned around, she couldn't see Hosea either, and panicked.
Wait, she cried out. Wait!
Michael caught hold of her.
I'm right here.
He felt her shaking and drew her into his arms.
I'm not going to leave you in darkness.
He tipped her face up and kissed her gently.
When are you going to understand I love you?
Angel put her arms around him and pressed closer.
If you love me, take me back. We can be warm and comfortable in bed. I'll do whatever you want.
No, he said roughly, fighting his response to her. Come with me.
She tried to hold him back.
Wait, please.
All right. I am afraid of the dark. Being out here reminds me of...
She stopped.
Of what?
Of something that happened when I was a child.
He waited, and she bit her lip. She didn't want to talk about Rab or what happened to him. She didn't want to think about the horror of that night.
Please, just take me back.
Michael combed his fingers into her hair and tilted her head back so he could see her face in the moonlight.
She was afraid, so afraid she couldn't hide it.
I'm afraid too, Mara. Not of the dark, not of the past, but of you and what you make me feel when I touch you. You use my desire for you as a weapon. What I feel is a gift. I know what I want, but when you press yourself against me, all I can feel is your body and my need. You make me tremble.
Then take me back to the cabin.
You don't hear me. You don't understand anything. I can't take you back. You're not going to have it your way. It's got to be my way, or not at all.
Michael took her hand.
Now come on.
He walked through the dark woods. Her palms were sweating, but her hand didn't lay in his hand like a dead fish anymore. She was holding on as though her life depended on him.
Angel heard sounds everywhere, a constant ringing and humming that came from all directions and penetrated her head. It was a quiet that was so quiet it screamed.
She wanted to be back in the cabin, away from the black moving things around her.
Winged demons watching and grinning. This was Duke's world.
She was cold and weak from exhaustion.
How much farther is it?
Michael swept her up in his arms and carried her.
We're almost there.
The woods were behind them, the moon above making the hillside an eerie silver gray.
Just to the top of that hill.
When he reached the crest, he set her on her feet again, and she looked around in confusion.
There was nothing. Just more hills, and then the mountains in the distance. Michael watched the night breeze making her pale hair dance in the moonlight. She huddled into the quilt and glared back at him.
There's nothing here.
Everything that matters is here.
All this way for nothing.
She didn't know what she had expected. A monument, something. She sat down, exhausted and shivering from the chill night air. The quilt wasn't enough. 10 quilts wouldn't be enough. The chill was inside her. What did he think he was doing, dragging her up this hill in the middle of the night? What's so special about this? Michael sat down behind her. He put his strong legs on either side of her and pulled her back against him. Just wait. She wanted to resist his embrace, but she was too cold to fight him.
For what?
He put his arm around her.
For morning.
I could have waited for that in the cabin. He laughed against her hair. Lifting it, he kissed the nape of her neck. You can't understand until you see it from here. He nuzzled the soft skin beneath her ear. She shivered softly. Sleep a while if you want. He tucked her more closely against him. I'll wake you at the right time. She wasn't sleepy after the long walk.
Do you do this sort of thing often?
Not often enough. They were silent again, but she was not uncomfortable with it. The warmth of his body was coming through her. She felt the weight of his arm across her and the solidness of him bracing her back. She looked at the stars, tiny jewels against black velvet. She had never seen it like this before, so close she felt she could reach up and touch each bright speck of light. The night sky was beautiful. It had never looked like this from a window, and the smell, thick, moist, earthy. Even the sounds around her became a kind of music, like the birds and insects, like the rain plinking into the 10 cans in a dingy wharf shack. Then the darkness lightened. It began slowly, hardly noticeable. The stars grew smaller and smaller, and the black softened. She stood up, hugging the quilt around her, watching. At her back was darkness still, but before her was light, pale yellow growing brilliant, gold streaked with red and orange. She had watched sunrises before from within walls and behind glass, but never like this, with a cool breeze in her face and wilderness in every direction. She had never seen anything so beautiful. Morning light spilled slowly over the mountains, across the valley to the cabin and the woods behind, and up the hillside. She felt Hosea's strong hands on her shoulders. Mara, that's the life I want to give you. The morning sunlight was so bright it hurt her eyes, blinding her more than the darkness ever had. She felt his lips against her hair. That's what I'm offering you. His breath was warm against her skin. I want to fill your life with color and warmth. I want to fill it with light. He put his arms around her and held her back against him. Give me a chance. Angel felt a heaviness building inside her. He had pretty words for her, but words weren't life. Life wasn't that simple, that straightforward. It was tangled and twisted, writhing from birth. She couldn't erase the last 10 years, or even the 8 before Rab had led her through the streets to the brothel and left her there for Duke to ruin forever. It had started long before that. She was guilty of being born. Her own father had wanted her cut out of her mother's womb and thrown away like garbage. Her own father. And Mama would have done it had she known she would lose him over her small defiance. All those years of endless weeping had told Angel that. No, not 100 dawns like this, not even 1,000, would change what was. The truth was there forever, just like Duke said in the dream. You can't get away from it. No matter how hard you try, you can't escape the truth. Her mouth curved into a sad smile, and her soul ached. Maybe this man was all he seemed. Maybe he meant every word he said, but she knew something he didn't. It was never going to be the way he wanted it. It just couldn't happen. He was a dreamer. He wanted the impossible from her. Dawn would come for him, too, and he would awaken. Angel didn't want to be anywhere around when he did. Chapter 12. From Aristophanes. Even if you persuade me, you won't persuade me. Michael felt the change in Angel after that night, but it was not a change that made him happy. She retreated and held her distance. Though her bruises were gone and her ribs healed, she was still walking wounded. She wouldn't let him get close. She regained the weight she had lost after McGowan's vicious beating. She grew physically strong, but Michael sensed a deeper vulnerability in her. He gave her work to give her purpose, and the brothel and cabin pallor disappeared, yet no life shone in her eyes. Most men would have been satisfied to have such a malleable, hard-working wife. Michael was not. He had not married her to have a drudge. He wanted a woman as part of his life, part of himself. Every night was a trial. He lay beside her and breathed in the scent of her until his head swam. She made it clear he could use her body whenever and however he wished. She looked at him every night as she took off her clothes. The question in her eyes made his mouth go dry, but he didn't give in. He waited, praying for her heart to soften. Her nightmares continued unabated. She often awakened shaking, her body drenched with perspiration. In the aftermath, she wouldn't even let him touch her. Only after she went back to sleep could he ease his arms around her and tuck her close. She would relax then, and he knew that on some deeper level she knew she was safe with him. It was small satisfaction when the natural needs of his body were driving him harder the longer they were together. His mind would create pictures of them making love, as it was written in Song of Solomon. He would almost feel her arms around him and taste her honeyed kisses. Then he would come out of the daydream and feel more frustrated and bereft than ever. Oh, he could have her now if he wanted. She would be accommodating, she would be expert, and he would know all the while he poured his hope into her that she was counting the beams in the ceiling or the chores for the next day or anything else that kept her from him. She wouldn't look into his eyes or care that he was dying inside for love of her. The memory was set in Michael's mind. Angel sitting on the end of the bed at the palace, swinging her foot back and forth like a pendulum. It would be just the same now if he gave in to his physical desire. It would be Angel, not Mara, just waiting for him to finish so she could consign him to oblivion with all the other men who had ever used her body. God, what do I do? I'm going crazy. You're expecting too much of me. Or am I expecting too much from her? The answer remained the same. Wait. More than anything, Michael was consumed with the need to hear her say his name. Just once, Jesus. God, please, just once. Michael. An acknowledgement of his existence. Most of the time, she looked right through him. He wanted to be more than someone walking on the periphery of her soul, someone she was convinced would step on her and use her. Love, to Angel, was a foul four-letter word. How am I supposed to teach her what love really is when my own instincts are getting in the way? Lord, what am I doing wrong? She's more distant now than she was in paradise. Have patience, beloved. Michael's frustrations built, and he started thinking about his father, who had claimed every woman wanted to be dominated. Michael hadn't believed it then, and he didn't believe it now, but he almost wished he could. Believing that lie would make his life with Angel easier. Every time she looked through him, he thought about his father. Every time she moved close to him in sleep, he knew what his father would say about his self-imposed celibacy. He heard another voice, dark and powerful, and as old as time. When are you going to act like a man? Go ahead and take her. Why are you holding back? Take her. She belongs to you, doesn't she? Act like a man. Enjoy her body if you can't get anything else from her. What are you waiting for?
Michael wrestled with a voice in his head. He didn't want to hear it at all, but it was there, pushing and pushing at him whenever he was most vulnerable. Even when he was on his knees in prayer, he could hear it taunting him. Angel grew restless with time. Something was at work inside her, something slow and insidious and threatening. She liked life in this little cabin. She felt comfortable and safe, except for Michael Hosea. She didn't like the emotions he was beginning to rouse in her, the feelings nibbling at her resolve. She didn't like that he didn't fit any mold she knew, that he kept his word, that he didn't use her, that he treated her differently from any way she had ever been treated before. He was never angry when she made mistakes. He complimented and encouraged her. He shared his own mishaps with a sense of humor that made her less annoyed with her own incompetence. He gave her hope that she could learn, and pride when she did. She could build a fire now. She could cook a meal. She could identify edible plants from weeds. She was even beginning to listen to the stories he read each evening, not that she believed a single one of them. The sooner I get away from him, the better. She had unfinished business to take care of back in Paradise. Besides, she could have her own little cabin just like this one when she had her share of the gold she had earned, and she wouldn't have to live with any man. Angel mentally tabulated how much time and money Hosea had spent nursing her back to health and training her for independence. She intended to repay him every hour and ounce before she left. She took care of his garden. She cooked, swept, washed, ironed, and mended. When he mucked out a stable, she found a shovel to help. When he chopped firewood for the winter, she filled her arms and made neat stacks against the barn. By the time 4 months had passed, her skin was brown, her back strong, and her hands rough. She looked in the shiny tin again and saw that her face was back to normal. Even her nose had healed straight. It was time to start making plans to go back. "Do you suppose those vegetables I've been tending for you would be worth a sack of gold back in Paradise?" she asked him one evening over supper. "Probably more." Michael looked up. "We'll have enough to buy a couple of head of cattle." She nodded, unduly pleased at the thought. Maybe he would buy a cow, and they would have milk. Maybe he would teach her how to make cheese. Angel frowned. What was she thinking? What did it matter to her if he bought a dozen cows? She had to go back and set things right in Paradise. She lowered her eyes and ate slowly. The day was coming when she could take off his mother's ring and forget all about him. Angel washed the dishes and ironed while Michael read the Bible aloud. She didn't listen as she pushed the sad iron around until it was cold and useless. She put it back on the grill. She had lived here with this man for months. She had worked like a slave. She'd never worked this hard back at the palace. She looked at her hands. Her nails were broken and short, and she had calluses. What would the Duchess have to say about that? She picked up the sad iron again. She tried to make plans, but her mind wandered to the garden, to the baby birds in a nest outside the bedroom window, to the deep, quiet serenity in Michael Hosea's voice as he read. "What's wrong with me? Why do I feel this heaviness inside again? I thought it was gone." "It won't be gone until you go back to Paradise and get what the Duchess owes you." Yes, that must be it. Until she went back to Paradise, everything would be left hanging. The old harridan had cheated her. Angel couldn't let her get away with it. Besides, Angel reasoned, she ought to be relieved that her time with this farmer was over. But she wasn't. She felt the same way she had the night she had watched him ride out of Paradise, like a hole had been punched in her, and her life was running out, not in a rush, but in a slow red trickle staining the dirt at her feet. "You have to go back, Angel. You must. You'll never be free if you don't. You're going to get your money. There will be a lot of it, and you will be free. You can always build another cabin like this one, and it will be all yours. You won't have to share it with a man who expects too much from you. He expects what you don't even have, what you never had. Besides, he's crazy praying to a god who doesn't exist or care, and reading a book of myths like it was the answer to everything. She worried her lip as she worked. She put the sad iron back on the grill to heat up again. When are we going back to paradise for supplies? 30 miles was a long walk. Michael stopped reading. He looked up at her. I'm not going back to paradise.
Not at all? But why? I thought you sold your produce to that Jew on Main Street.
Joseph. His name is Joseph Hochschild. And, yes, I did. I decided it's better not to go back. He knows. There are other places, Marysville, Sacramento.
You ought to go back and get your money, at least.
What money?
The gold you paid for me.
His mouth tightened. That doesn't matter to me.
She looked at him. It ought to matter. Don't you care that you were cheated?
She went back to ironing. Michael watched her and realized she wanted to go back. Even after all this time with him, she was hankering after her life in paradise. His body grew hot and tense. She went on ironing as though nothing were wrong, seemingly blind to his feelings. He wanted to grab her and shake some sense into her. Does she have any, Lord? Does she? God, haven't I touched her at all? Have I worked her too hard? Or is she just bored with this quiet kind of life? Jesus, what do I do? Chain her like a dog? He thought of something to keep her mind off paradise for a while. It was a mean, low trick, but the result would keep her on the homestead for a couple more weeks. Maybe she would come to her senses by then.
I've got a job for you to do tomorrow, he said, if you're willing.
She had been thinking about leaving tomorrow, but it was a long walk, and she didn't even know which road to take. She doubted he would point her in the right direction. What was she supposed to do? Ask his god?
What is it? She said tersely.
There's a black walnut tree in the meadow. The nuts have fallen. I'd like you to go ahead and pick them up. I've got a gunny sack in the barn. You can dump them in the yard to dry.
Fine, she said. Whatever you want.
He clenched his teeth. Back to that again. Whatever you want. If she said one more word, he was going to put his father's theory to the test.
I'm going to check the stock.
He went outside to cool off. He stalked off toward the corral. How do I get through to this woman? He said between his teeth. What do you want from me? Was I just supposed to bring her back and give her time to heal and rest before she went back? Whose will is at work here? He couldn't seem to hear the still small voice anymore. That night, he was worse off than ever. He almost followed the desires of his body rather than his heart and mind, but he knew what was expected. He got up and went down to the creek. The cold water helped, but it was no cure for what ailed him. Why are you doing this to me, Lord? Why did you give me this bull-headed, maddening girl? She's turning me inside out. Angel knew when he left the bed. She wondered where he was going. She missed his warmth. When he came back, she pretended to be asleep, but rather than get back into bed with her, he sat in the willow chair before the fire. What was he brooding about? Cattle? His crops? He was asleep in the chair when she got up in the morning. Angel shrugged off his old shirt and gathered her clothing. When she turned slightly and saw him staring at her, she knew what was wrong. She had seen that look on men's faces often enough to know what it meant. Was that all that ailed him? Well, why hadn't he said so? She straightened, lowering her arms slowly so he could look at her. She gave him her old smile. A muscle jerked in his cheek. He stood, took his hat from the hook by the door, and went out. She frowned, perplexed. Angel prepared his breakfast and waited for him to come in. When he did, he ate without so much as a word. She had never seen him in such a foul mood before. He looked at her darkly. "Have you decided whether you're going to pick those nuts?" Her brows flickered up. "I'll pick them. I didn't know you were in such a hurry."
She scraped her chair back and went out to the barn for the gunny sack. It took several hours to fill it. She dragged her load back and dumped the nuts. She shook out the sack, proud of her work. Michael was splitting logs. Pausing, he wiped his brow with the back of his hand and nodded toward the heap. "Is that all?" Her smile evaporated. "Isn't this enough?"
"Well, I thought there'd be more."
She stiffened.
"You mean you want all of them?"
"Yes."
Tight-lipped, she went back. "Maybe he's part squirrel," she muttered under her breath. "Maybe he figured on selling them along with the vegetables and smoked venison." Stubborn and angry, she kept at it right through the noon meal. Let him fix something to eat for himself. If he wants nuts, he's going to get nuts. It was near dusk when she dumped the last sack in the barn. Her back was a mass of pain. "I sniffed all through the leaves and couldn't find any more," she told him. She longed for a long, hot soak, but the thought of toting one bucket of water made her give up that idea. He smiled. "We've got enough there to share with neighbors."
"Share?"
"I didn't know we had any neighbors," she said angrily, pulling a wayward strand of blonde hair out of her mouth. She hadn't done all this work for a bunch of strangers. Let them pick their own nuts.
"What do you care, Angel? You're not going to be here."
"I'm going to wash up and fix supper," she said, and headed for the creek.
"Do that," Michael said.
He grinned and jabbed the pitchfork into the hay again. He started to whistle. Half an hour later, Mara stormed back. "Look at this." She held her hands for him to see her blackened palms and fingers. "I've used soap. I've used grease. I've even rubbed with sand. How do you get this stuff off?"
"It's the dye from the hulls."
"You mean they're going to stay like this?"
"For a couple of weeks."
Her blue eyes narrowed. "Did you know this would happen?" He smiled slightly and pitched hay into a stall. "Why didn't you tell me?" Michael leaned on the pitchfork.
"You didn't ask."
Her stained hands balled into fists, and her face filled with angry color. She didn't look indifferent or aloof anymore. He added fuel to the fire already blazing. "The nuts still have to be peeled and dried before we can sack them again. Then you and I'll have all winter long to crack 'em." He saw the heat coming into her face. She was ready to explode. "You did it on purpose!" His own temper was just beneath the surface, so he held his silence. "How am I supposed to go back now with my hands looking like this?" She could just hear the Duchess laughing at her dung-colored hands. She could just imagine the remarks. Michael's mouth curved wryly.
"You know, Mara, if you were really that set on going back to paradise, you'd have been on your way weeks ago."
She blushed, which only added to her fury. She hadn't blushed in years. "Why this?" she demanded hotly. "You got your money's worth out of me." He heaved the pitchfork into the haystack.
"I haven't gotten anything from you yet, lady. Nothing worth anything."
Fury made a red haze before her eyes. "Maybe you're just not man enough to take it the usual way." She swung around and started out of the barn, calling him a foul name under her breath. Michael's own temper erupted. He caught up with her and swung her around. "Don't mutter it under your breath, Mara. Come on. Say it to my face. Let's get your real feelings for me out in the open." She yanked free of him. She screamed names up at him. She knew plenty. She saw his anger and jerked her chin up, daring him. "Go ahead and hit me. Maybe it'll make you a man."
"Not likely, but that's what you want, isn't it? Another beating. More hard knocks."
He was afraid of his own rising emotions, the hot surging blood that made him almost call her challenge. He was shaking with the power of it.
"It's the only thing you know, and you're too full of your own stubborn pride to find out if there's anything else in the world."
"Don't make me laugh. You think you're any different from the rest? I'm quit of this place. I've matched you hour for hour. You've had your gold's worth of work out of me."
"Hogwash. You're just running because you're scared, because you're beginning to like it here."
She swung at him, but he blocked her hand. She swung again, and he caught her wrist. "Finally, I have your full attention." He let her twist free. "At least you're looking at me instead of through me." Angel spun away and marched across the yard. She went into the cabin and slammed the door. Michael expected to see something come crashing through the window, but nothing did. His heart was pounding like a locomotive. He let out his breath and pushed his fingers back through his hair. It was going to be open warfare from here on out. Well, so be it. Anything was better than her apathy. He went back to his work. When he came in, Mara seemed calm enough. She glanced at him and gave him a sweet smile as she ladled stew into a bowl and set it on the table for him. One cautious taste, and he knew there was enough salt in it to pickle him. The biscuits had sand in them, and when he looked into his mug of coffee, he saw half a dozen flies floating on the steaming surface. He laughed and pitched the coffee out the door. What else had she cooked up for him? "Why don't we discuss what's really bothering you?" Angel folded her hands on the table. "I've only got one thing to say. I am not going to stay here with you forever." He just looked at her, with that faint, enigmatic smile on his face that made her want to use a club on him. "I'm not," she said again.
"We'll take one day at a time, beloved."
He took a can of beans from the shelf and opened them. Her eyes were hot enough to fry a steak. He leaned his hip against the counter and ate his cold meal. She glared up at him. "I don't belong here, and you know it."
"Where do you think you belong? Back in that bordello?"
"That's my choice, isn't it?"
"You don't even know you've got a choice yet. You think there's only one way to go, and that's straight downhill to hell."
"I know what I want."
"Then would you mind telling me?"
"I want to get out of here." She got up and went outside, too angry and frustrated to look at him. Michael set the can down and came to lean in the doorway.
"I don't believe you."
"I know, but I don't see that what I want is any of your business." He laughed, but it wasn't in amusement. She glared back at him, her eyes glittering in the moonlight. "What everything did you have in mind when you brought me here?" Michael didn't answer for a long moment. He wondered if he could make her understand. He wondered if he could even put it into words.
"I want you to love me," he said, and saw the derision in her face. "I want you to trust me enough to let me love you, and I want you to stay here with me so we can build a life together. That's what I want."
Her anger dissolved at his sincerity. "Mister, can't you understand that's impossible?"
"Anything's possible."
"You don't have any idea who and what I am, other than what you've created in your own mind."
"Then tell me."
"Go ahead, Angel. Tell him." He could never even guess at the things that had been done to her, or that she had done. Oh, she could tell him. Level the gun, both barrels, point blank, straight for his heart. Annihilation. That would put a quick end to everything. Why was she holding back? Michael came outside. "Mara," he said. His gentle voice was like salt on her wounds. "My name isn't Mara. It's Angel. Angel."
"No, it isn't. And I'll call you by what I see.
Mara, embittered by life. Tirza, my beloved, who stirs a fire in me until I feel like I'm melting." He moved toward her. "You can't keep running away. Don't you see that?" He stopped right in front of her. "Stay here. Stay with me. We'll work things through together." He touched her. "I love you." Do you know how many times I've heard those words before? "I love you, Angel. You're such a pretty little thing. I love you, sweetheart. Oh, baby, I love you when you do that. Say you love me, Angel. Say it so I believe you. As long as you do what I tell you, I'm going to love you, Angel. I love you, love you, love you. I'm sick to death of hearing it." She stared at him angrily, but the look on his face defeated her.
She hugged herself tightly. "Don't think. Don't feel anything. He'll destroy you if you do." She tried to focus on something else. The night sky was so clear, stars everywhere, and a moon so big it seemed to be a single silver eye staring down. Her mind and emotions still boiled. She tried to call up her defenses, but they had dispersed. She wanted to be up on the hilltop, seeing the sunrise again. She remembered his words, "Mara, that's the life I want to give you." Who was he kidding? She knew it could never happen, even if he still didn't. Her eyes burned. "I want to go back to paradise as soon as possible." "Am I getting too close?" She swung around. "I'm not staying here with you." She tried to calm down and reason with him. "Look, mister, if you knew even half of what I've done, you'd have me headed back to paradise so fast." "Try me. Go ahead and see if it makes a difference." Angel withered at the thought. She had opened Pandora's box and couldn't get it closed again. The horrible, grotesque memories rose from the dead. Her father, Mama dead, clutching her rosary. Rab with a cord around his neck because he knew Duke was not the moral, upstanding citizen the public thought he was. Duke raping her over and over again. The dozens of men in the years that followed. And the hunger, the endless, aching hunger inside herself. Michael could see her face white in the moonlight. He didn't know what she was thinking, but he knew she was tormented by her past. He reached out to touch her cheek. "I wish I could open your mind and climb inside with you. Maybe the two of them could fight off the darkness that was trying to swallow her whole." He wanted to hold her, but she had withdrawn from him already. "God, how do I save her?" Angel looked up at him and saw the sheen of moisture in his eyes. Shock ran through her. "Are you crying? For me?" she said weakly. "Don't you think you're worth it?" Something inside her cracked. She writhed inside to escape the feeling, but it was there nonetheless, growing with the light touch of his hand on her shoulder, with every soft word he spoke. She was sure if she put her hands against her heart, her palms would come away covered with her own blood. Was that what this man wanted? For her to bleed for him? "Talk to me, Amanda," he whispered. "Talk to me." "Amanda? What's this name supposed to mean?"
"I don't know, but it sounds like a gentle, loving name." He smiled slightly. "I thought you might prefer it to Mara."
He was a strange man given to strange ways. What had become of her defenses? Where was her defiance and anger, her resolve?
"What do you want to hear, mister?" she said, meaning to sound amused and failing.
What could she tell a man like him that he would ever understand?
"Anything. Everything."
She shook her head. "Nothing. Ever." Michael cupped her face tenderly.
"Then just tell me what you're feeling right now."
"Pain," she said, before she thought better of it. She pushed his hands away and went back into the cabin. She was cold and desperate to get warm. She knelt down before the fire, but even its warmth couldn't permeate. She could lie in the coals and still not melt the chill attacking her. "Run away from him, Angel. Run away now."
"Stay, beloved."
Voices warred in her head, pulling at her very soul. Michael came inside and sat down beside her on the floor, watching quietly as she drew up her knees and hugged them against her chest. He knew she was trying to shut him out again. He wasn't going to help her succeed this time.
"Give your pain to me," he said.
Surprised, Angel looked at him. She was in a wilderness with this man. She was desperate to find a familiar road, some known landmark to guide her away. She couldn't remember the last time she had even felt close to tears. And she had no tears, not anymore. Hosea perplexed her. "I've done
everything for you but the one thing I know best. She searched his eyes. Why not? His expression changed, and she felt a softening toward him. He was vulnerable, and oddly she felt no desire to attack his defenses. Are you afraid? Is that what holds you back? Do you think I'd make fun of you because you've never been with a woman before? Michael took a strand of her hair and rubbed it between his fingers. Where were all his rational answers now?
I suppose it's entered my mind, but more than that I need to know why.
Why what? She asked, not understanding.
Why you would make love with me.
Why? She would never understand this man. All the men she had ever known would expect her to thank them if they had given her so much as a box of candy or a bouquet of flowers. This man had kept her alive and nursed her back to health. He had taught her things that would help her live on her own. And now he wanted to know why she offered her body to him. Would gratitude be enough reason?
No. It wasn't in my hands whether you lived or died. That was up to the Lord.
Angel turned her head away. Don't talk to me about your God. He didn't come back for me, you did. She put her forehead against her raised knees and said nothing more. Michael started to speak, but the voice held him back.
Michael, there is a time for all things.
He sighed inwardly, heeding the message. She wasn't ready to listen to the why and wherefore. It would be acid, not salve, and so he held his silence.
Lord, please guide me.
The fire crackled, and Angel began to relax, just listening to the soothing sounds. I wanted to die, she said. I couldn't wait, and just when I thought I had, there you were.
Do you still want to die?
No. But I don't know why I want to live, either. The siege of emotion passed. She turned her head slightly and looked at him again. Maybe it has something to do with you. I don't know anything anymore. Joy leaped inside Michael, but only briefly. She looked hurt, not happy, confused, not certain. He wanted to touch her, and was afraid if he did she would take it the wrong way. Comfort my lamb. If I touch her now, Lord, comfort your wife. Michael took her hand. Her whole arm stiffened, but he didn't let go. He turned her hand over in his and smoothed his fingers down over her blackened palm and fingers so that his large hand covered hers.
We're in this together, Amanda.
I don't understand you, Angel said.
I know. But give me time, and you will.
No, I don't think I ever will. I don't know what you want from me. You say everything and take nothing. I see the way you look at me, but you've never treated me as a wife. Michael turned the gold band on her finger. She was his wife. It was time he did something about it. If she didn't know the difference between having sex and making love, he would have to show her. Oh, God, I am afraid of the depth of my physical desire. Most of all, he was afraid he would not know how to please her. Lord, help. Angel watched him looking at the ring on her finger. Do you want it back?
No.
He wove his fingers with hers and smiled at her.
I'm just as new at being married as you are.
A calm settled over him, and he knew everything would be all right. Angel looked away. Married men had come to her plenty of times, and she knew what they had to say about it. Their wives didn't understand them. They married for convenience and progeny. They were bored with the same woman and needed a little change, like having steak for dinner instead of stew, fish instead of chicken. Most said their wives didn't enjoy sex. Did they think she did? What I know about marriage isn't encouraging, mister.
Maybe not.
Michael kissed her hand.
but I believe marriage is a contract between a man and woman to build a life together. It's a promise to love one another no matter what comes.
You know what I am. Why would you make a promise like that to me?
I know what you were. She felt an ache inside her.
You'll never learn, will you?
Leaning over, Michael tipped her face toward him and kissed her. She didn't pull away, but she wasn't moved either. Lord, I could use a little help down here. He shook as he combed his fingers into her hair and kissed her again. He was so tentative, Angel relaxed. She could handle this. She could handle him just fine. She could even help him along. Michael drew back. He wasn't going to allow his desire to become rampant. He wasn't going to embrace sex and lose sight of love, no matter how much more comfortable she would be with that.
My way, not yours, remember?
He stood up.
Angel watched him in confusion. What do you know about it?
We'll have to wait and see.
Why do you make things difficult for yourself? It all comes down to the same thing. It won't be my way or your way. It'll just be the way it is.
A sexual act was what she meant, and he didn't know how to show her it was meant to be a celebration of love. All Angel saw was his determination. She stood slowly and joined him.
If it has to be your way, fine. It'll be your way.
In the beginning. Michael looked into her eyes and saw no hardness. Neither did he see understanding. He wasn't sure which part of himself to listen to anymore. He was hard-pressed by his physical nature. She was so beautiful to him.
"Let me help you," she said, and took his hand.
Michael sat in the willow chair, his heart in his throat, as she knelt before him and pulled off his boots. He was losing control fast. Standing, he moved away from her. He unbuttoned his shirt and shrugged it off. As he undressed, Michael kept thinking about Adam and the Garden of Eden. How had he felt the first time Eve came to him? Scared half to death, yet surging with life? When Michael turned, his wife stood naked before the fire, waiting for him. She was breathtaking, just as Eve must have been. Michael came to her in wonder.
"Oh, Lord, she is so perfect, like no other creation in the world. My mate."
He swung her up into his arms and kissed her. As he stretched out beside her on their marriage bed, he marveled at how she fit him, flesh to flesh, molded for him.
"Oh, Jesus," he whispered, awestruck by the gift.
Angel felt him shaking violently and knew it was due to his long, self-imposed celibacy. Strangely, she was not repulsed. Instead, she felt an alien sense of sympathy. She pushed the feelings away, blocking him out of her mind, and was surprised when he drew back from her and searched her eyes, his own filled with so much, she turned her face away. "Think of your money in paradise, Angel. Think of going back and getting it from the Duchess. Think of having something for yourself. Think of being free. Don't think about this man." It had worked for her in the past. Why not now? "Come on, Angel. Remember how you used to close your mind? You've done it before. Do it again. Don't think. Don't feel. Just play the part. He'll never know." But Michael wasn't like other men, and he did know. He didn't have to die to realize she had brought him to the edge of heaven and slammed the gates in his face.
"Beloved," he said, turning her face back to him, "why won't you let me get close to you?"
She tried to laugh.
"How close do you want to be?"
She could feel the difference in this man right through her pores and sought to protect herself from him. Michael saw the flatness in her blue eyes, and it broke his heart.
"You keep shutting me out. Tirza, stay with me."
"Is it Tirza now?"
"Oh, Jesus, help me.
Stop running from me."
Angel wanted to cry out.
Not from you, from this, from the mindless, selfish